It's been almost 5 years since we started this journey of building a software tool to liberate and educate entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. This podcast reveals the tips and strategies we and our fellow entrepreneurs have used to start, build, grow, and scale their companies. My name is Dave Woodward. Join me as I take you behind the scenes so you can hear what works, what doesn't, and the strategies being used to get your message out to the world. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. Hey, Funnel Hackers, welcome back to the show. This is going to be kind of a different episode. I was actually inspired to do this from an episode I listened to from JLD, John Lee Dumas, on his Entrepreneur on Fire. We actually are, it's our first time of actually advertising on a podcast, and we are advertising on his. And so I was listening to some of the episodes, and he came and he basically told a similar, he actually told the story I'm going to share with you today about Steve Jobs and his commencement speech at Stanford. I'm going to do this a little bit different. There's three different stories that are talked about in this, and for those of you guys who are familiar with it, I'll go ahead and I'll read through a lot of this, but I also want to share how this is, how I was impacted by this almost 10 years ago now. The first story is about connecting the dots that he talks about, and I definitely want to share some of my insights on connecting the dots. In addition to that, the other one is about love and loss, and I'll share a few things about things that have happened with me in business with that whole concept of love and loss. And his third one is a story about death. Mine won't be as relating directly to the physical death that he was dealing with as far as cancer, but I want to kind of share some of my insights and thoughts as we go through this as it relates to you personally in your own life, as it relates to us at ClickFunnels. One of the things we've really tried to pattern a lot of the things we've done after Apple and Steve Jobs, especially when it comes to culture and community, and really building an environment where people can feel connected, where there's a family associated with a piece of software. And I've always been inspired by Steve Jobs and a lot of things that he's done. I've read his biographies. I've studied a lot of the things he's done. And for me, the commencement speech that he gave at Stanford years back in 2005, I didn't get exposed to until I was going through some crazy, crazy stuff between 2008 and 2010. And I've read it multiple times. I've listened to it. And it's been extremely impactful for me personally. So I want to kind of share my insights and thoughts as we go through this. So I'll read part of it and then also share my insights as I break this up. So this is Steve Jobs speaking to the commencement speech, Stanford 2005. I'm honored to be with you today at your commencement from one of the finest universities in the world. I never graduated from college. Truth be told, this is the closest I've ever gotten to a college graduation. Today, I want to tell you three stories from my life. That's it. No big deal, just three stories. The first story is about connecting the dots. I dropped out of Reed College about after the first 6 months, but then stayed around as a drop-in for about 18 months or so before I really quit. So why did I drop out? It started before I was born. My biological mother was a young, unwed college graduate student, and she decided to put me up for adoption. She felt very strongly that I should be adopted by college graduates. So everything was all set up for me to be adopted at birth by a lawyer and his wife. Except that when I popped out, they decided at the last minute that they really wanted a girl. So my parents, who were on a waiting list, got a call in the middle of the night asking, "We have an unexpected baby boy. Do you want him?" They said, "Of course." My biological mother later found out that my mother had never graduated from college and that my father had never graduated from high school. She refused to sign the final adoption papers. She only relented a few months later when my parents promised that I would someday go to college. And 17 years later, I did go to college. But I naively chose a college that was almost as expensive as Stanford, and all of my working class parents' savings were being spent on my college tuition. After 6 months, I couldn't see the value in it. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and no idea how college was going to help me figure it out. And here I was spending all my money my parents had saved their entire life. So I decided to drop out and trust that it would all work out. It was pretty scary at the time, but looking back, it was the best decision I ever made. The minute I dropped out, I could stop taking required classes that didn't interest me and begin dropping in on the ones that looked interesting. It was all romantic. I didn't have a dorm room, so I slept on the floor in friends' rooms. I returned Coke bottles for the 5-cent deposits to buy food with, and I would walk 7 miles across town every Sunday night to get one good meal a week at the Hare Krishna Temple. I loved it, and much of what I stumbled into by following my curiosity and intuition turned out to be priceless later on. Let me give one example. Reed College at that time offered perhaps the best calligraphy instruction in the country. Throughout the campus, every poster, every label on every drawer was beautifully hand calligraphed. Because I had dropped out and didn't have to take the normal classes, I decided to take a calligraphy class to learn how to do this. I learned about serif and sans serif typefaces, about varying the amount of space between different letter combinations, about what makes great typography great. It was beautiful, historic, artistically subtle, and a way that science can't capture, and I found it fascinating. None of this had even a hope of any practical application in my life. But 10 years later, when we were designing the first Macintosh computer, it all came back to me, and we designed it all into the Mac. It was the first computer with beautiful typography. If I had never dropped in on that single course in college, the Mac would have never had multiple typefaces or proportionally spaced fonts. And since Windows just copied the Mac, it's likely that no personal computer would have ever had them. If I had never dropped out, I would have never dropped in on this calligraphy class. And personal computers might not have the wonderful typography that they do. Of course, it was impossible to connect the dots looking forward when I was in college. But it was very, very clear looking backward 10 years later. Again, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backward. So you have to trust that dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down, and it was and has made all the difference in my life. All right, so for me personally, I can tell you that as I look back as far as connecting the dots, that has probably been one of the biggest opportunities of peace in my life, because as you're going through all the hellacious experiences as a business owner and going through things that just don't make sense, as I take a look back now and I can start to connect the dots, everything from my relationship with my wife, my relationship with Russell, these came at experiences, and even my opportunity to be involved in ClickFunnels from the beginning came because of some of the crazy things that I did years and years before. I first met Russell in 2008, 2009, and at the time, never would have thought I'd have the opportunity of being involved in what has become, as I've talked to many people, unicorn status amongst software developers and really being involved in a culture and a community. As I have the opportunity, I was reading on Facebook today and seeing some of the stories that have happened for people involved in ClickFunnels, whether they're people in our inner circle. I was reading a story from Rachel Peterson and her One Funnel Away experience and becoming a Two Comma Club award winner. Now she's on to her third, and the struggles and trials of her marriage. As I take a look at Christopher Voss and some of the things that he's gone through, as I look at Nick Robbins, as I read so many of the different stories of our community, it's my way of being able to go back and look at and connect the dots of the impact that subtle decisions and following and trusting my gut when nothing made any sense at all. It's because I went with my gut. Again, I'm a huge believer in faith and in God and in prayer and having prayers answered. And at times, I think of the Garth Brooks song as far as how grateful he is for unanswered prayers. Sometimes those unanswered prayers, actually, as you look back, that for me has been some of the best ways of my connecting the dots, where divine intervention was playing a role in my life in a way that I was getting frustrated. It didn't make sense to me. But as I look back now and I connect the dots, I see the hand of God being involved, moving things around and positioning things that actually years later helped me to be in a situation to take advantage of some of the greatest opportunities I've ever had. So as you're building your business and as you're going through the struggles and as you're experiencing and learning and growing, I'd highly recommend and encourage you to have faith, to trust in your destiny, in your gut, in life, in karma, whatever you want to call it, but realize that as you look back on things, the experiences that you're having right now will actually put you in a better situation, in a better place later in life to take advantage of those opportunities. So that's kind of my feeling and my connection with Steve Jobs on really looking back and connecting the dots. I want to continue on to his next story. So he says, my second story is about love and loss. I was lucky. I found what I love to do early in life. Woz and I started Apple in my parents' garage when I was 20. We worked hard, and in 10 years, Apple had grown from just the two of us in a garage into a $2 billion company with over 4,000 employees. We had just released our finest creation, the Macintosh, a year earlier, and I had just turned 30. And then I got fired. How can you get fired from a company you started? Well, as Apple grew, we hired someone who I thought was very talented to run the company with me. And for the first year or so, things went well. But then our visions of the future began to diverge, and eventually we had a falling out. When we did, our board of directors sided with him. So at 30, I was out, and very publicly out. What had been the focus of my entire adult life was gone, and it was devastating. I really didn't know what to do for a few months. I felt that I had let the previous generation of entrepreneurs down, that I dropped the baton as it was being passed to me. I met with David Packard and Rob Noyce and tried to apologize for screwing up so badly. I was very public failure, and I even thought about running away from the valley. But something slowly began to dawn on me. I still loved what I did. The turn of events at Apple had not changed that one bit. I had been rejected, but I was still in love, and so I decided to start over. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again, less sure about everything. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. During the next 5 years, I started a company named Next, another company named Pixar, and fell in love with an amazing woman who would become my wife. Pixar went on to create the world's first computer animated feature film, Toy Story, and is now the most successful animation studio in the world. In a remarkable turn of events, Apple bought Next. I returned to Apple, and the technology we developed at Next, at the heart of Apple's current renaissance, and Laureen and I have a wonderful family together. I'm pretty sure none of this would have happened if I hadn't been fired from Apple. It was awful tasting medicine, but I guess the patient needed it. Sometimes life hits you in the head with a brick. Don't lose faith. I'm convinced that the only thing that kept me going was that I loved what I did. You've got to find what you love, and that is as true for your work as it is for your lovers. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking until you find it. Don't settle. Man, I can tell you, this has been one of the things. I've been an entrepreneur now for, going on 25 years. And I remember so many different things that have happened in my life. One of the big ones was the decision I literally a week before I was in college, always focused on going to medical school. I got accepted to medical school, was going to Wake Forest, Bowman Gray Medical School. And a week before I was supposed to go, I called I called the administration office and told them I just didn't want to go. And I remember how devastating, how frustrated my father was. He was an attorney. Created a huge wedge between the two of us. He felt I was lost, didn't know what I was doing. I remember talking to the administration office, and the lady on the phone was like, "Dave, I promise you, you are making the greatest mistake of your life. You will look back for years. Every single time you're in a hospital, every single time you have a child, anytime anything happens where you see anything medically involved, you're going to regret this decision. Whatever you do, please, please come and start medical school. You can always change, decide to do it, to not do it later, but you literally are going to make the greatest mistake of your life if you don't go through with this." And I remember just tossing and turning and being so frustrated and dealing with so much angst and trying to decide, gosh, am I doing the right thing? I remember sitting there praying and not getting answers and just not feeling at peace. And I decided literally the week before I was supposed to go, not to go. I then went on to get a master's degree in exercise physiology, feeling totally lost, but found the love of my life, my wife, while I was at school, and has literally changed my entire life because of her. But I remember reflecting back, there have been times where the admission lady was correct, where things weren't going well. Anytime I had a failed business, anytime something didn't go well, oh my gosh, I remember her words, and they broke my heart and created so much angst, where I seriously thought, my gosh, maybe I did make the wrong decision. And for me, it wasn't until I was in my 40s where I realized that my passion is working with other entrepreneurs. My passion is in building businesses. And it wasn't until then, again, 15 years basically from the time that I said no to medical school, that I realized I was doing what I loved and was being compensated. And at the time, I wasn't receiving the financial rewards that I would have had as a physician, as a surgeon. Orthopedic surgery is what I was going into. And I remember sitting back many times struggling with that. And I look back now as it's been nearly 20, 24, 25 years since that decision. And I can honestly say it was the best thing I ever did because I followed my heart and I went all in on it. And even though it wasn't easy, for me, it literally has been the best decision I ever made. I now look at some of my friends who are surgeons and very well-known surgeons, travel the world, and they're dear friends to this day. But I'm so grateful that I pursued my heart and I went for it. Again, not that it was easy, but I am at a place now where I am at complete peace, complete happiness and contentment, but more importantly, a feeling immense amount of joy, knowing that what I do matters on a daily basis to those that I love, my wife first and foremost, my kids, and those people I have the opportunity to associate at work. And so again, I would highly recommend that you don't settle, that you listen to Steve Jobs, and that you find out what your passion is and realize there are times where I remember money wasn't there. And I had to take other jobs and had to do other things to bring those funds in, but I never forgot where I wanted to get. And because of that, I'm grateful for the love and for the loss that I've experienced over time. But more importantly, to realize that life is a lot longer than you think it is. And the short-term goals, they actually can be extended a little to actually fulfill your deepest desires. And again, I would not be where I am without my wife. She is by far been the glue in my life. And I'm so fortunate. I know not everyone's had that opportunity. We've been married over 25 years, and there have been ups and downs for sure, but she has by far been the rock of my life, and I'm so grateful for her. I want to jump back into Steve's third lesson and his third story. He says it's about death. When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like this. If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right. It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today was the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm doing today? And whenever the answer has been no, for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You're already naked. There's no reason not to follow your heart. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a scan at 7:30 in the morning, and it clearly showed a tumor in my pancreas. I didn't even know what a pancreas was. The doctors told me this was almost certainly a type of cancer that's incurable, and that I should expect to live no longer than 3 to 6 months. My doctor advised me to go home, get my affairs in order, which is doctor's code for prepare to die. It means to try to tell your kids everything you thought you'd have the next 10 years to tell them in just a few months. It means to make sure everything is buttoned up so that it'll be easy as possible for your family. It means to say your goodbyes. I lived with that diagnosis all day. Later that evening, I had a biopsy where they stuck an endoscope down my throat, through my stomach, and into my intestines, put a needle into my pancreas, and got a few cells from the tumor. I was sedated, but my wife, who was there, told me that when they viewed the cells under a microscope, the doctors started crying because it turned out to be a very rare form of pancreatic cancer that is curable with surgery. I had the surgery, and I'm fine now. This is the closest I've been to facing death, and I hope it's the closest I get for a few more decades. Having lived through it, I can now say this to you with a bit more certainty than when death was a useful but purely intellectual concept. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it, and that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the world, it clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. When I was young, there was an amazing publication called the Whole Earth Catalog, which is one of the Bibles of my generation. It was created by a fellow named Stuart Brand, not far from here in Menlo Park. And he brought it to life with his poetic touch. This was in the late 1960s, before personal computers and desktop publishing. So it was all made with typewriters, scissors, and Polaroid cameras. It was sort of like Google in paperback form, 35 years before Google came along. It was idealistic and overflowing with the neat tools and great notions. Stuart and his team put out several issues of the Whole Earth catalog. And then, when it had run its course, they put out a final issue. It was the mid-1970s, and I was your age. On the back cover of their final issue was a photograph of an early morning country road, the kind you might find yourself hitchhiking on if you were so adventurous. Beneath it were the words, "Stay hungry, stay foolish." It was their farewell message as they signed off. Stay hungry, stay foolish. And I've always wished that for myself. And now, as you graduate to begin new, I wish that for you. Stay hungry, stay foolish. Thank you all very much. Steve Jobs. You know, I love, and I get chills as I read this last part. Death has been one of the things that I've never been afraid of. I know a lot of people struggle with it. I know loss for people is something that can be devastating. But I do know the importance of pursuing your dreams and following after those. As I look back over my time involved with ClickFunnels, if I look back my time involved as an entrepreneur, the one thing I've always had the opportunity of doing, one of the things I try to encourage my kids to do, and that is to realize that you only get the opportunity to live life one time. And if you're not living your life the way you want to live it, you got to every once in a while, you just got to sit back and think, is this what I really want to be doing? There's too often when you don't have goals, you don't have dreams, you're going to live someone else's. And for me, the opportunity of staying, of really understanding the importance of focusing and staying hungry and staying foolish, I love those two words, those four words, I guess, stay hungry and stay foolish. People here in the office joke around about my childlike charisma. I have, having four boys, and my wife basically has raised five kids, my probably being the worst, but I've always had that desire of staying hungry and staying foolish, and of never saying no and being willing to go out. I'm very extremely adventurous. I love extreme sports. I love things that push me. I love things that are challenging, because I think too often we get to a point where we want to start just relaxing and realizing that life is what it is, and you can't change it. I'm a huge believer that everything can be changed. It's just a matter of how hard you're willing to make that change. So as you take a look at your own life and you take a look at where you're at, I would, again, echo Steve Jobs' words as far as stay hungry and stay foolish. Go out and pursue your dreams, pursue your passions, find a way. Don't worry about getting hurt. Fall in love. Enjoy the time with others. Enjoy that experience. Find a way of realizing that life is about experiences. I'm a huge, huge believer in creating as many experiences for my family, for those I care about. For me, I love nice cars. I love nice things. But you can only enjoy that when you first really buy it. After a while, it gets old. And so for me, it's more a matter of who can I share that with? We joke around about here in the office as far as I love driving my Tesla, but what excites me even more is when others here in the office take it out for a drive. When you share that experience and someone else has that type of an experience, it changes their life. So I would highly recommend that allow others to experience things. Focus on things that create experiences for others. My son Christian is 19 years old or 18 years old and is soon to be going on his mission for our church. He's going to be heading off to London, England next week, actually, for a two-year mission. And so for me, this summer has all been about trying to create as many experiences with him as I possibly can. Everything from last week, we were up in Coeur d'Alene, just kind of experiencing Coeur d'Alene for the first time and how beautiful it was. We spent time on a hike. We went out in the morning and rented jet skis and took it out across across Coeur d'Alene Lake. And then that afternoon went fishing. He's fallen in love with fishing. So we caught 50 fish that night. My wife loves yoga. And so we spent time on a boat, on a riverboat, basically on the lake doing yoga on this big, with a whole bunch of people we didn't even know. But just to experience that and to have fun with it. The next day we went and rode the Hiawatha Trail, which is a 15-mile bike ride down an old trail that used to be for trains. And tomorrow, or this Friday, my son Christian wants to go and catch a sturgeon, which is like the 7-foot fish. So we're going to go out and do that. My only reason saying that is you work hard and realize that life is about having experiences for yourself, but most importantly, involving other people in those experiences. Provide those types of experiences for others, especially for those people who can't. There's nothing that makes me happier than seeing the smile of joy or happiness on someone else. I'm a huge believer in charity and giving to others, but I love doing it anonymously as much as I possibly can, especially when it involves some sort of an experience. So with that, again, stay hungry, stay foolish, have an amazing day. Remember, you are truly just one funnel away. We say this all the time, but I truly mean that. Don't give up. Pursue your dreams, go forward, have an amazing day, and we'll talk to you guys soon. All right, hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. Right now, as we're going on our journey to 100,000 users, we really want to invite you along. And one of the ways we can invite you along is we want to find out what you think about what we're currently doing. So please rate, review this, share this with others, take a picture of this and post on Instagram, tag us in it, tag Funnel Hacker Radio or tag Dave Woodward. We'd love to know what your thoughts are, and most importantly, the ways that we can actually help you journey to whatever number of users or customers or community you're trying to build. Remember, you're just one funnel away.